proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, being weary, getting tired of things, sometimes hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Get a little tired of it. Oh, I've heard that before. I don't want to hear that again. Well, I have to tell you, as a news junkie, there are certain commercials, maybe you've noticed this, that seem to appear with great frequency. One of them is the iRenew. Have you seen that one, that commercial? It's on I think Fox News Channel runs it about every 5 minutes. But the iRenew is this bracelet that you put on, and what it does, it says, is it gives you strength and energy and endurance and balance because it adjusts the biofield around you. It's biofield technology, it says. Have you seen this commercial? Very interesting, yes, isn't it? Anyway, I watch this, and like I said, I think it's on about every 5 minutes. And every time it comes on, here's the guy, is Art Edmonds. You know, he comes on, he says, "Hi, I'm Art Edmonds." And of course, I have to shout out now, "Hi, Art!" And I obviously live alone, so I can do those kinds of things. But I sit there and I listen to what Art has to say. This amazing bracelet that just gives you unlimited energy and endurance then. And then how about the feigned enthusiasm of the alleged doctor who's talking about that? Have you seen that? So anyway, so here's this bracelet that for a mere $19.99 will give you great energy and endurance. Now, one of you probably has bought this out here, I know, but hopefully not. Here's the thought, you know, wouldn't that be something, $19.99, and you just have this great energy and endurance and balance in your life? Well, the truth is that we can become weary and tired, and sometimes of very important things, like serving the Lord and doing the will of God. We can lose our zeal, our passion, but this isn't God's will for us. We're talking about the marks of a transformed life. Today we're going to talk about diligence, but I want us to reflect for just a moment again on these qualities of a transformed life that we've seen in the book of Romans chapter 12. We said the first one is surrender, that a person who is seeking to be transformed by the power of God is someone who is first and foremost surrendered to God's agenda and to God's purpose in your life. Do you know what God's agenda and God's will for your life is? Have you determined, "Yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want what you want for my life." Transformation begins with an attitude of surrender. God's agenda is more important than my own. We've seen, too, then, that there must be renewal. It's a change in our thinking. A transformed life is remarked by renewed thinking. It results, then, in knowledge of God's will or God's agenda for our lives. How do we know what God wants us to do? How do you know what God wants you to do? Well, when you are being renewed in your thinking by the Word of God, He makes it clear to us what His agenda is for us. As we said, this isn't necessarily things like, should I buy this or do this? Should I move there or take this job? It's the kind of person, it's character, it's God's moral will for us. This is revealed clearly to us in God's Word. See then that a transformed life is a life of service, using the gifts and abilities that God has given us to faithfully serve Him in whatever capacity that He has placed us. See then that a transformed life is a life of love, but it's a sincere love. Remember that word there, sincere. It literally means without what? Hypocrisy. It's not just a show or an act. We don't just say that we love, but then act in a way that is contrary to that love. It is a sincere love which acts in conformity with what we profess of love. And that love, too, it isn't a feeling, is it? It is action for the good of another. A sincere, devoted love. That it hates evil, it clings to good, and honors others. Today, then, this next mark in a transformed life is diligence. Diligence. See that a transformed life is marked by a diligent enthusiasm in serving the Lord. A diligent enthusiasm in serving the Lord. Now, in this passage here, as we look at this, we're going to see that there is both a negative command, that is something we're not to do, and a positive command, something that we are to do. But as we look at this verse, I'd like us once again to take a moment and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? Because we'll look at this not just at one translation, we're going to look at this from several translations. And say, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me today? Let's turn then to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 11. Just one verse. It's just one verse, but there's so much in there for us to take away. Apostle Paul here, speaking to believers, says this, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That is the NIV there. So look at some other translations here, the Amplified Bible. I like how the Amplified Bible, it does just that. It takes that verse and it amplifies it. It expands on us to give us a little better understanding and sense of the text. So there it says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Now, do you notice the difference between the last translation, the NIV that we just read, and this one here? Do you notice there's a difference with that being fervent in spirit and what we see here? So one, the NIV, it was lowercase, being fervent in spirit, in our spirit. And here it says burning or being fervent in spirit, capital S. That's one possible way of translating this. Is it's telling us to be fervent in the Holy Spirit. And certainly if we are going to have an enthusiasm and a fervency to serve the Lord, we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? At least I do. So never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Here's that Bible that I don't recommend it to you as your everyday study Bible. But occasionally, but it does say something, the message that I like how it takes certain verses here. I like what it said here about this. It says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master. And then finally, this from the New Living Translation. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Don't be lazy. Be fervent and servant in spirit. Work hard, serving the Lord with enthusiasm. I said here then, there. I want to break this down into a negative command and a positive command. And then take a look at some of the things that might hinder us, impediments in serving with diligence and enthusiasm. And then look at some of the helps that God has given us in order that we might serve Him enthusiastically and with diligence. Does anyone here ever get tired of the Christian life? Ever get wearied by it? Because let's face it, if we're going to be faithful to what God has said in His Word, it demands a constant look at our lives and a constant awareness that something is amiss, something is wrong. And we need to be about the work of, with the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, of course, we need to be about the work of transformation, of cooperating with God. And that can be wearying when it's being revealed to us that we're falling short in some way. And so sometimes, how about you, sometimes Sometimes I just don't want to hear it anymore. I've heard enough. I've got too much I'm already working on. But I think that's a fleshly attitude that takes over, because God works powerfully by His Spirit, doesn't He? He doesn't tell you and He doesn't tell me to just keep trying hard to do it ourselves, because we can't. But sometimes just hearing it, that can be wearying. Or ministry, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is serving people. Anybody here ever get tired of serving people? Certainly we can. But a transformed life is one which continues with zeal and diligence and enthusiasm in serving the Lord. So the first command is simply this. The negative command, what we're not to do, is don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Anyone here struggle a little bit with laziness? Okay, we have two honest people in here. Three honest people. Four, five, six, seven. Okay. Don't be lazy. Now, that laziness can express itself in different ways in our lives, but this one here is talking about spiritual matters. Don't be lazy in spiritual things. In the work of transformation in our lives and character, and in serving the Lord, doing the work that He's called us to. Just previous to this, we were seeing how Paul was talking about how we are to serve one another in love, and he gives examples of not everything, every spiritual gift, but some of the spiritual gifts, that all of us have a place of service in the body. And so that a transformed life is serving in love and doesn't get lazy about it. It doesn't just stop and step back and say, well, I think I've done enough. I'm done. But no, don't be lacking in zeal. It is don't be lazy. That word zeal, it refers to a passion and an energy and an enthusiasm. So in other words, don't get tired of it and just sit back and just become lazy and do nothing. But keep that passion and that zeal, that diligence. What is diligence? It's that persistent effort to achieve an important goal. Diligence is we are giving a persistent effort to achieve a worthwhile or valuable goal. Now, in this case, the worthwhile or valuable goal is transformation into Christ's likeness in service of the Lord. Transformation into Christ's likeness. This is, I know that I'm in danger here of speaking a little too much Christianese. You know what I mean by that? Sometimes we use these terms that we become familiar with, and we use them all the time. But what do we really mean by that? Transformation of the image of Christ means this, that you become a fundamentally different person from within in how you think and how you speak and how you act, so that how you think, how you speak, how you act is how Christ thinks, how Christ speaks, how Christ acts. That's the work that we're not to become lazy about, that work of transformation. And serving the Lord, using the gifts and abilities He's given us in service to Him. And of course, serving Him means serving people, right? So the negative command, don't be lazy. Don't lack in zeal or diligence. There's that passion and that drive to want to be transformed and to serve the Lord and serve people. It's a negative command. Don't be lazy. And there's a positive command that goes along with it. Keep the fire burning as you serve the Lord. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. That's how the NIV has it. Keep your spiritual fervor. And the imagery there in that text is it's of a boiling or a fire. So rather than becoming lazy, Keep that fire burning. Keep it going. Keep it boiling over in you as you serve the Lord. I have a little more to say about this in just a moment here, but you might be thinking, are you telling me, Pastor, that the Christian life is we are constantly to be ramped up and hyped up and running full blast 100 miles an hour, constantly going, giving it 100%? No. That's a recipe for spiritual disaster, isn't it? So the point is not saying, you know, that this fervor and keeping the fire burning doesn't mean that we're constantly running and going and go, do. It's that there is a diligent persistence and persevering. There's that persevering word again, right? We keep going. There's a diligence that keeps doing, sometimes even when we don't feel like it. Have you ever had something that you know you needed to do, you really didn't want to do it, you didn't feel like doing it at all, but you needed to, you knew it needed to be done, and then you did it, and you were so glad afterwards you did it, even though you didn't feel like it? I think that's part of this here as well, is that we continue, sometimes regardless of how we may feel. And we're not being told that we need to, that the transformed Christian is constantly up, running full speed. But there's a persistent diligence here. You keep the fire burning. Don't let it go out. That fire of desire to be transformed, to serve. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. So it means keep it boiling in the Spirit. Be boiling, be aflame in the Spirit. Remember, I said some translations, well, you might see a capital S in there. There's the small s, human spirit, and there's the capital S, Holy Spirit. Some take that to be saying, you know, keep the fire burning in the Holy Spirit. I have more to say about that in a moment because I think that's absolutely crucial. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You might say, now, I want to serve. I want to be diligent. I want to be enthusiastic, but there are things that get in the way. There are impediments or hindrances, things that get in the way that keep us from being diligent, from being enthusiastic in service. Can you think of something, if you had to say, what holds you back? What holds you back from being diligent and persistent and enthusiastic in serving the Lord? You probably ask all of us, I'm sure there's something, isn't there? There's something for all of us. But here I think are some common things that might hold us back and keep us from that diligence and enthusiasm. I like to get the bad news out of the way. Well, actually, all of these can be bad news, but this is the really bad news. I like to get this one out of the way first. It's this one, unconfessed sin. Have you found that when there is unconfessed sin in your life, that's something that you are harboring, that it tends to sap your enthusiasm for serving the Lord? Absolutely, it does. So one of the things then that can impede our growth and our progress is when we have sin in our life that we're not confronting or dealing with. Now you notice I didn't say that if you have any sin in your life at all, you cannot serve the Lord and you are of no use whatsoever, because I think we'd all have to just walk out and shut the doors and close the church down, because all of us have sins in our lives, don't we? The point is, are we dealing with that? Are we dealing with it? Are we honest with God about it? Are we letting God work in our lives in that sin, to overcome that sin? But if the sin is unconfessed, if we're not admitting it, we're not ready to talk about it with God, or we don't want to deal with it, that's going to impede our service and enthusiasm. So what do we need to do? We need to confess it. Confess literally means to say the same thing. We need to agree with God about it. Confess and repent of that sin. Here's another thing. Lack of discipline. Lack of discipline. I think probably all of us are undisciplined in one way or in one area or another. I certainly am. But there is a certain spiritual discipline that we need to have. And that spiritual discipline says, regardless of how I feel today, you know what? I'm going to see what God's Word says to me today. I'm going to read that. I'm going to pray. I don't feel like praying right now. Well, you know what? I'm going to do that anyway. You know what? I don't feel like going to church tonight for Awana, or coming to church this morning and for teaching the Sunday school class, or I don't feel like coming to worship service this morning. Well, the discipline is we do those things anyway. And again, what happens, the marvelous thing is when we do what is right and what we need to do, God honors that, doesn't He? So one of the things that can impede our diligent enthusiasm is when we don't feel like doing something, we don't do it. But if we do it anyway through discipline, that produces enthusiasm, doesn't it? There's some other things that might impede our diligent, enthusiastic service. Well, how about this one? Little faith. Little faith. Do you like being challenged on your faith? I don't. But you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the ways that God has challenged me in that and how He has grown my faith. And guess what? I know I have a long way to go on that. But I always think of that man who had a boy who was ill and he cried out to Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus said to him, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" And the man said, "What? Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief." In other words, did he have faith? Yes, he did, but it was a little faith, and he knew he needed it to grow. He needed greater faith. So he said, "Help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to grow. I have a little faith. I need more faith. Help me to have more faith." You know what? When we are in God's Word, when we're being obedient to that, when we are serving faithfully, there's something about, and we see what God is doing through that, it builds our faith, doesn't it? But some of there may come a point where we're going to come face to face with something that's going to challenge our faith. We need to decide, am I going to believe God or not? Something else that can impede diligent, enthusiastic service. A service misfit. What do I mean by that? Jesus, all of us are called to serve, aren't we? We all have a place or a role, a place of service. But maybe we're not in the right place of service. We should be doing something else. And so when we're in the wrong place of service, that can certainly sap or take away our passion and our energy and our enthusiasm for serving, doesn't it? Boy, isn't there something wondrous and marvelous, though, when we're doing what God has equipped us to do, we're being faithful in that, and we see how He uses us in that? That certainly gives us diligence and enthusiasm and service, doesn't it? When we see how God works through that. Because we're in the right place. So maybe a challenge for you this morning to say, maybe you are involved in serving in some way, but you're finding it very, very hard. Maybe you're in the wrong place of service. And then finally, this is one that I've had to have a conversation with some of you, and you know who you are when I tell you this. But here's something else that can really sap our enthusiasm and our diligence in service. That one right there, trying to do too much. And I see the guilty parties looking down right now. Trying to do too much. Is it surprising, Lynn, that we can become weary or burned out when we're doing things that maybe the Lord isn't telling us we need to do? And there's an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. Hey, that's one of the hard lessons that I've had to learn, and it's a delicate balancing act. It is my nature to have an over responsibility for things, to say that, you know, well, I need to do this, or if it's not working out, this is my fault. Well, you know what? There is certainly a place for honest introspection and evaluation, right? But sometimes we can take too much responsibility for these things, that we need to do this or I need to do that. And I think this impedes what God wants to do in us if we're trying to do too much. We need to focus on that which God is calling us to do. So these are some of the impediments or things that can hinder us in diligent, enthusiastic service. Are there things that can help us? Things that can help us in diligent, enthusiastic service? Of course. There are plenty of things that we could talk on, but I want to talk about two things this morning. I want to focus on two of the helps that God has given us for enthusiastic service. First one is there, no surprise, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, this is one of those moments where someone will say, you know, I have heard this before. I know you've heard it before, but you have to hear it again. The Christian life is impossible. And some will say it's difficult. I say, no, the Christian life isn't difficult. It is impossible. That is, it is impossible to perfectly obey, perfectly fulfill, always, every day, God's will. If we're trying to do that in our own strength, saying, I just need to keep trying harder. Maybe some of us here are trying really hard to be a good Christian, to obey God's word, and haven't realized that God isn't calling you and me to keep trying harder. He's called us to submit and yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't say that's always an easy thing to do. It's being submitted to the Holy Spirit that He does the work in us then. Our work is yielding to Him. Scripture calls that being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is being yielded to Him. Submitting ourselves to Him. Cooperating with Him as He produces the fruit of righteousness and effective service in our lives. Being yielded to the Spirit is one of the helps, the great helps that God has given to us for diligent and enthusiastic service. Now here's something you may think, okay, I know that, I've heard that before, but I still find it hard sometimes to be as diligent as I should. Well, I want to share with you, I think, another thing that God has given us that helps us, and certainly has been a great help to me. It's a word that you've heard before, and you know this, but it's important for us to reflect on that and challenge ourselves. Do you really believe this? Do I really believe this? And that word is hope. We can persevere in diligent service because we have hope. Well, what is hope in the Bible? Hope is the sure and certain promise based on the character of God Himself that He will do what He said He will do. And so here is the hope that you and I have. God is not finished with our salvation. Aren't you glad your salvation? Our salvation is absolute and complete in Christ. But we don't experience the full depth and reality of that salvation just yet, do we? It's ours by faith. But God is nowhere near finished what he's doing and what he's going to do with you and this world, is he? Let's think about what that hope is. Well, we say, well, it's the hope of heaven. And that's true. But what does that really mean to you? It's so easy for us to focus on this life in the here and now and the concerns of today and miss that eternal perspective. You and I can be diligent because we have hope that God is going to do what he said he was going to do, and what he's going to do is complete our salvation by taking us to be with him, by raising these mortal bodies into glorified bodies, and reigning forever with him on a new earth, completely free of sin, eradicated from sin forever. Do you really believe that? Hope and the power of hope. The world was transfixed this last week by this story of the rescue of these miners in Chile. Here were these men who, there was this collapse, and there they were down there in the darkness, 2,000 feet below the surface of the earth, cut off from everyone else, and not knowing whether anyone up above even knew they were there or they were alive. And for days, what was it, 17 days, they had no contact. What do you think that was like in those 17 days down there in the darkness? No idea if someone even knows you're there or you're alive. And then, here was this rescue hole that was dug. They were located, they were found, and suddenly, just like that, they had contact. Someone up above that said, hey, we know you're there. They were able to communicate, we know you're there, we know you're alive, and we're going to try to get you out of there. Suddenly there was this hopeless darkness, and now what? They had hope. Now they were still in this bad position, but now they had hope, right? Now a human hope may or may not come to pass. They didn't know if they were going to be rescued or not, but they had hoped that they would. But biblical hope is absolute and certain. And biblical hope is God says, I'm going to rescue you from that deep, dark pit calling the fallen world that you're in now. He's going to do it, isn't he? So we know the story then of what happened of that rescue hole, that it was expanded. And then the capsule that brought them up one by one. And here is a man then who, when he came up, what did he want to do? He wanted to pray and give thanks that he was saved, that he was rescued, that he was delivered from that hole. Well, you and I have hope that God is going to complete what he's begun. He is going to rescue us and deliver us from the hole of life in this world. What's heaven going to be like? Well, I think it's going to be a lot like that, what you're seeing on your screen right now. Our hope of heaven doesn't mean that when we die, where we're going to pass into this kind of other dimensional existence and then float about in that other existence for eternity. Now, in the presence of God, if that's what it was, that's a wonderful thing, but that's not what the Bible teaches, does it? The Bible teaches that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. That he's going to raise us. We are going to be physical men and women and a physical earth. Now you look at this, you see this. This is a picture of the beauty of this earth as it stands now. This world is corrupted by sin, isn't it? And the Bible says that believers, their bodies will be raised and glorified. And it says what? The earth itself, the physical world, it's going to be cleansed and purged by heat. Peter talks about it. And then Revelation 21, there will be a new earth. What will that new earth be like? Well, do you think it's certainly going to be, you think it's going to be any less marvelous than the one we have right now? And you think of the glory and the beauty of this earth that we have right now. What's the new earth going to be like? Well, Scripture says that you and I are going to reside or dwell with the Lord forever on a new earth. You can only speculate how it would be, but I think we have to look at what we have around us to see, to give us an idea of it. So how can you and I be diligent and enthusiastic in service? Well, we need to address the impediments. And we need to rely and depend upon the Holy Spirit. But I think it's so critical and so crucial for us to keep this hope in mind. This is your destiny. This is your future. You're going to reign with Christ in a perfect new earth. Do you believe that? I mean, really believe that? I think when we really believe that, that helps us then to keep going, not to be lazy, to keep the spiritual fire burning, diligently and enthusiastically serving the Lord. Is there an impediment that you need to deal with? An unconfessed sin? A lack of discipline? Little faith? Maybe being a misfit in some way, being in the wrong place, trying to do too much? Or maybe there's something else that God has put his finger on in your heart, if you're feeling a little less than enthusiastic about serving him. Are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit? And are you living in conscious awareness of this great hope? Are you diligently and enthusiastically serving the Lord? Let's pray. Lord, when we do try to do too much, when we are depending on ourselves rather than the Spirit, when we are harboring unconfessed sin, when we're in the wrong place, Lord, all of these things and more can be a hindrance to us. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to us what it is, Lord, that we need to confess or correct in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would have full and open, unhindered access to our hearts, that we would be fully yielded to you in the power of the Spirit. Lord, I confess I am not fully yielded to you as I should be. Would you help me? Would you help us, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for the hope of heaven, the hope of a new heaven and new earth. May that reality become real and vivid and powerful in our minds each day. May that give us great enthusiasm in diligently serving you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.